Thank you for listening to the Ablaze Church Sermon Podcast. Our purpose at Ablaze is to love God, love others, follow Jesus, and tell others. If you are looking for a church home in the Tulsa area, we'd love to have you join us for worship on Saturdays at 6:30 p.m. or Sundays at 10 a.m. We are located just north of 51st Street on Lynn Lane in Broken Arrow. For more information, please check out our website at ablazechurch.org.
If someone were to ask me, Pastor Dreyer, what is your prayer and desire for Ablaze? I would say my earnest desire is that we would come together as a family, grounded in truth, united in love, and flowing with service, so that we could, as a team, get other people to be committed followers of Jesus like we are. Yes, that is my desire. And that's why Dr. Spomer and I have been preaching this theme for the year, building up the team in 2018. Lately, we've been in a series called Staying in the Game. Today, I want to speak to you about healing our wounds, our injuries. Whenever you're in a game, there's a chance of being hurt. When you play the game of life as a Christian, you will get hurt, and we need healing. I don't know if you heard about the two gentlemen who were shipwrecked, and they were on a deserted island, and one looked around and started whining and complaining, there's no food, there's no water, we're going to die. They probably won't find us for months. The other gentleman said, don't worry about that. He said, what do you mean don't worry about that? I'm very worried about it. Don't worry about that. I make $100,000 a week. The other guy says, what does that have to do with anything? We're on a deserted island. Doesn't matter how much money you make. There's no food. There's no water. We're going to die on this island. They won't find us for months. And he said, don't worry about it. I make $100,000 a week. And I go to church every week and I tithe off that $100,000 a week. If I don't show up in church on Sunday, my pastor will find me. Oh. Yeah. You know, finding the lost is kind of like a healing. The blind receiving their sight is a healing. And it's all done by the grace of God. It's an amazing grace that heals you and me. Today I want to talk to you about the healing of your body. We are created in the image of God. That means we are triune. We are three, but yet one. We have a body. We have a mind. And we have a soul. And in the game of life, all three can be hurt. And so staying in the game is so important. So we have to talk about healing. Dr. Einstein said these words. There's two ways to look at life. One is there are no miracles. Another way to look at life is everything is a miracle. How do you look at life? I tend to look at life as everything is a miracle. The world we live in is a miracle. You are a miracle. I am a miracle. The fact that we have a body that can be healed is a miracle. The fact that we have a mind that can be healed is a miracle. The fact that we have a soul that can be healed is truly a miracle. I want to talk to you about body, mind, and soul. and the healing that takes place. Now I'm going to refer to the sermon outline that was given to you as you came into God's house. Healing of body, mind, and soul. Now, some of these words you may not want to hear, but that's okay. That's okay. Let's take a look at healing of the body. Now, for your body to be healed, this is what you need to realize. You need exercise. I know what some of you might be thinking. Oh, no, here comes one of those sermons. If you've ever been injured in the body, maybe you've had surgery on your knee, on your hip, guess what you're going to have to undergo? Therapy, right? What is therapy? Exercise. What is exercise? It is good for the body. Listen to the words of Paul. I discipline my body. Exercise is good for the body. I don't know if you ever heard this story about the 16-year-old who wanted to get a car. He had a job. He was in school, and he wanted to buy a car. So he talked to his dad, and his dad said, listen, I'll give you 6 months. Your grades are C's. If you can get them to A's and you cut your long hair, you can get a car. 6 months went by. His grades went from C to A, but his hair was still long. He thought he'd talk to his dad. He said, now listen, Dad, I did what you told me. My grades are A's. I used to have C's. As far as the hair is concerned, I want to keep the long hair because we know, Dad, that Jesus had long hair. The father thought about that and said, you know, you're right, son. Jesus did have long hair. And I'm very proud of you that you got your grades up. But I want to remind you that Jesus walked wherever he went. The hair has to go. Why do I tell you that story? Because Jesus walked. Jesus got his exercise. How about you? Do you know that there is healing in the body when we exercise it? Even if we don't want to do it, it does the body good. Number two, sleep. Do you realize that the day of rest is about getting rest? And when you sleep at night, your body rejuvenates? I don't know about you, but I know my body so well, I have a certain time that I have to get my sleep. I need 7 to 8 hours. If I get 6 hours, I'm yawning all day. If I get 9 hours, I yawn all day. I don't know why that is. But for my body not to be grumpy, to be energetic, I need around 7 to 8 hours of sleep. Last week, Tina's husband was taken to the emergency room, and that's who we prayed for. And she only got 2 hours of sleep last week taking Mike to the emergency room. And she told me on the phone, she goes, you know, it was like I've been in a fog all day. She goes, have you ever been in a swimming pool underwater and tried to hear? She goes, that's the way I feel. She goes, then I realized this must be what it's like to get 2 hours of sleep. Then very proudly, she said, Pastor, I'm a 10-hour girl. She functions. She has to have 10 hours. Maybe you're that way. You know your body best. But if you have trouble sleeping, maybe you need a sleep apnea machine or something. But we need to get our rest. Our bodies are meant to rest. If you're burning the candle at two ends, you're not as bright as you think you are, and you're going to burn out real quick. Listen to the words of the Bible. Sweet. Sweet is the sleep of a laborer. That's what the Bible says. So when it comes to your body and healing, we need to get some exercise. We need to get the right amount of sleep. And we do need to diet. Now, this is that one nobody wants to face. Diet. You know, it's important what we put into our body. And we need to be very careful. Jesus was one who fasted. Jesus was one who would go a certain period of time without eating something. Daniel in the Old Testament was somebody who ate just the vegetables. What is your diet like? Are you eating something that's actually hurting your body, injuring your body? You know, knee injuries, hip injuries, a lot of that has to do sometimes with we're carrying a little too much baggage. Now, I say these words with fear and trepidation, but if I'm not going to say it, who is going to say it? I want to tell you something about a statistic in Oklahoma. Do you realize we rank number 6 in the nation for obesity? Now, this statistic I heard just last week. Do you realize in the whole world, there's twice as many people who are obese than those who are starving? We don't like to hear that. When it comes to the healing of the body, we have to be very careful. If you're taking too much salt in or too much sugar in, too much alcohol in, you've got to understand it's part of the healing process, what you eat. Now, I'm going to make a statement to you, and I hope you'll take it home with you. Know this, God the Father created your body. Jesus the Son died for your body. The Holy Spirit lives in your body, and your body will be resurrected someday. I hope that's sunk in. God the Father created your body. Jesus died for your body. The Holy Spirit lives inside your body, the temple of the Holy Spirit. And your body will be resurrected. Guess what? It's a gift from God. It is a miracle that God has given to you. Take care of it. Healing, yes, begins with the body. But also, the healing needs to be with the mind. We need to have our minds renewed. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, the Bible says. And what do we need to be thinking about? None other than Jesus, you know that. Have you ever heard this? You think about your problems, they just get bigger. You need to think about the one who can solve your problems. When it comes to your injuries, whether that's a physical, an emotional, or spiritual, we need to start thinking about Jesus a little more often. Healing transpires. Listen to these words. You bring peace to the man whose mind is stayed upon you because he trusts in you. Meaning there is healing, the Bible says, when we just think about the Lord. What do you think about most in your life? Your problems, your injuries, your hurts, your pains? Or do you think about Jesus who died on that cross for your sins? It is Peter in the reading that was read to you earlier by Don Cook who speaks to us about our mind and what we think about. Would you open that Bible now with me to 1 Peter 2, and I'm going to pick it up from that reading, 1 Peter 2, at verse 21. Now, I'm just going to read this. It's been read to you, but we're going to revisit it because it is so important. It is Peter who's trying to get us to think about something different. Listen to his words. 21, 1 Peter 2, beginning with verse 21. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. We need to think more about Jesus, who died on that cross for our sins, who gave his life for us. We are to be an example to the rest of the world of people who follow and who act and look like Jesus. Number two on the mind, the future. We need to look to the future. Jesus made a promise at your baptism, I'm with you always to the end of the age. But you know where the devil wants you to look? Back at your past and whine and complain about it. And instead of looking to the future, the devil wants you to look back. Where do you look in life? Do you talk about the future and the possibilities? Listen to these words. A man with no hope is a man who has no future, and a man who has no future looks back. Where do you find yourself looking nowadays? If you have hope in your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, then you should look to the future. The best awaits you. Heaven is our home. You know that he gave his life so that you could be forgiven and that we could live in the hope of eternity in heaven. The best is yet to come. And the older we get, the more frail our body gets. Guess what? Spiritually, we can get stronger. Although our mind and our body fail, spiritually, we can get stronger. Why? We look to the future and he who holds it. Yeah. But let me tell you what the devil wants to do. He wants to take you and focus you on your past, the hurts and the injuries that you have dealt with in life. This is number three, or C, release others. See, the devil wants you to look back in all those hurts and pains, and he doesn't want you to forgive somebody. See, what Peter is telling us, he bore our sins on that cross, and that's an example. The devil wants you to revile if somebody's reviled you. If somebody's hurt you, the devil wants you to hurt them. Vengeance is yours, saith the devil. Peter is saying, where's your mind at? Where's your mind? Are you focused on Jesus who came down from heaven to die for you? Are you focusing on the promise that he makes to you? You're going to be in heaven someday. Are you constantly looking back? Have you ever been hurt by somebody or wounded? There's a big difference between wounded and wrong. Now, being wounded is a fact of life. Somebody's going to hurt you and wound you. If you see me walking down the hall someday and I accidentally don't say hi to you, that may be a wound. It wasn't intentional. If I don't comment on your hair, Don Cook, okay, that's an accident, okay? I may wound you, but it's not a wrong. It's not something that needs to be forgiven. It's something that needs to be accepted. We hurt one another. Husbands hurt wives. Wives hurt husbands accidentally. We're going to wound one another. But now a wrong is when a commandment has been broken. When somebody has stolen from you. When somebody has lied to you and gossiped about you. That's a wrong and it needs to be forgiven. Now I know I might be drawing a fine line here. But no matter what, you have to forgive whether you're wounded or you're wronged. You know why? Because this is what Jesus says. If we focus on him, this is what Jesus says. We must forgive. If you do not forgive, my Father in heaven will not forgive you. If we looked at Jesus, his forgiveness for us was unconditional. It's not because you deserve it, not because you've earned it. He died on the cross because he loves you, and it's unconditional. He just forgives. We have to be using him as an example. And if you can't forgive somebody for a wound or for a wrong, guess what? You're living in the past, and the devil has a foothold in your door. And how do you know if you're living in the past? You can't forgive. Your mind is always rerunning what has happened to you. And you can't look to Jesus for who forgave you. You find yourself reviling. You find yourself wanting to get even. Okay? And hurt somebody's hurt you. If that's you tonight or tomorrow morning, you need to let go. And let God. Listen to these words again. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. If you can't forgive, you're playing God. If you can't forgive somebody unconditionally, you're playing God. You're saying, I'm better. I don't have to forgive you. Guess what? That's a dangerous road because Jesus said the Father won't forgive you. Now, I'm not saying I'm trying to minimize the hurt and the pain that somebody might have caused you. Somebody here might say, Pastor Dreyer, you don't know what has happened to me. You don't know what they did for me. No, I may not. But I know you need to forgive. Because if you don't, you're only hurting yourself. Resentment only hurts yourself. It is unhealthy for body, mind, and soul. We need to let go and let God, he's the judge, and return it over to him. Now, maybe you've heard this said, to forgive and to forget is divine. To forgive and not forget is human. And maybe you've heard somebody says they tried to, you know, to get you to say, just forget it, minimize it. No, you can't just minimize 9/11. That would disrespect it. No, whatever happened to you is big. And it's real. In fact, I'm going to say something maybe you've never heard before. Don't forget it. But you must forgive. Because if you don't forgive, it'll eat you alive. It's unhealthy. It'll affect your life. You won't be able to get to sleep. You will have no hope and no future. If you can't forgive, it's a requirement that God says must happen. You let go and you let God. You don't do it for that person's sake. You do it for your own sake. And then you let God deal with them. He's the guy who brings justice. Now, let me say it again. You know where the devil wants you? Looking back, reviling, okay? If you've been hurt, he wants you to think about hurting something else. This is where the soul comes into play. You see, it is the devil who works on our flesh, and we need to have a circumcision of the flesh. We need God to do surgery on us so that we can be healed. That ultimate injury is our sinful nature. And the good news is this. God is the surgeon. He's the great physician, and he's willing to do that surgery. And this is where our soul, we need to love God. Okay? Use our soul to love God. Now, actions speak louder than words, folks. What does it mean to love God? It is Peter who shares that with us. Listen to verse 24 again as I read it. He himself bore our sins in the body on the tree that we might die to sin. That's what it means to love God. You'll die to that sin. and live to righteousness. Actions speak louder than words. How does Jesus know we love him? By the way we act. By his wounds you have been healed. Folks, that's good news. By his wounds you have been healed. Now, maybe you've heard this before. I want to make it perfectly clear. That does not mean your body is healed. In fact, some people, maybe you've heard this said, well, if you're not healed, body, or even of the mind, you don't have enough faith. In fact, I read about a TV minister, a religious man who had a call in. There was a lady who was born blind. She called in and she said, you know, a good Christian woman, I thought, came up to me and said, you know, if you had more faith, you would be healed. And she goes, that hurt me and wounded me because I've been born blind. And the gentleman on the radio said, well, I'm so sorry that had to happen, but I want you to know that's a lie. That is not true. So many places in the Bible, people suffer many things. Job, for example, the thorn in the flesh. And he said something strange. He says, do you have a white cane? And she goes, well, yeah. He says, I release you to do something. She goes, what's that? Next time somebody says, if you had a little more faith, you'd be healed. Take your white cane and hit him over the head. And when they say, ouch, look them at them and say, if you had a little more faith, that wouldn't hurt. Listen to these words. And the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your offspring. We are to be examples even to our offspring. That's what Peter is trying to tell us. So that you will love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, that you may live. Living is not being resentful. Living is not reviling about your past. Living is not looking back. Living is forgiving. Living is looking forward and walking with your Lord and Savior, knowing someday you're going to heaven. That's living. Unconditional forgiveness. Letting go and letting God. You know what that takes? Delighting in the Lord. How do you delight in the Lord? If I ask you right now, how do you delight in the Lord? Listen to Peter. For you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd, the overseer of your soul. You know how we delight in the Lord? By celebrating. You know, listen to the words of Paul. Three times I went to the Lord for this thorn in my flesh. You know what the response was? My grace is sufficient for you. Amazing grace. You know how we can delight in the Lord, celebrate his grace? Where he has cleansed our body at our baptism. He has renewed our mind through his grace and our soul. Amazing grace has cleansed our soul. We are body, mind, and soul. We need to celebrate. We need to think about what Jesus has done for us. And we need to celebrate grace. When's the last time you thanked God and rejoiced and delighted in the Lord? We need to do it all the time. See, it is your soul who's going to tell you, listen, celebrate, rejoice. It is your soul who says, let's love the Lord together. He has done so much for us. He has circumcised our bodies. This is number C. Return to the Lord. Listen to the words. They're written for you. For you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd, the overseer of your soul. We need to return to the Lord with our soul. There was a pastor who had a very large congregation, but what he'd never done before was that healing service. So he was going to try something a little different. He said, listen, folks, you're excused, but if anybody here needs healing, stay after because I'm going to have a special healing service. And to his surprise, 30 people stayed after. And one by one, they came forward. He had never done this before. And they had hurts of body, of mind, and soul. If you follow Jesus in the healing ministry, the great physician, he's healing body, mind, and soul all over the place. All different issues. Blindness, lameness, somebody with leprosy, somebody who is lonely, he befriended. And so these people came forward, and afterwards the service was over. There was no miraculous healings. A day went by, second day went by, a third day. 4 days later, he received a phone call from a woman. And the woman said, Pastor, I was at your healing service. Oh, you were. He didn't know who she was. She said, my husband had cancer. Emphasizing, had cancer. And so he was a little intrigued, and he said, I've just got to ask, was your husband cured of cancer? And she goes, yes, he died. He's cured. The pastor felt pretty bad about that. Obviously, he was thinking, you know, the healing service did not work. And she said, Pastor, you don't understand. My husband cursed God because of his cancer. He was angry at God. He spoke bad about God. He was absolutely terrible to live with. He was so angry, so resentful. But after the healing service, I came home. And he was speaking belovedly of God. He was smiling. He was an absolute delight to live with for 4 days. And Pastor, I'm here to tell you, those were the four best days of our entire marriage. His soul was healed 4 days ago. His body was healed today in heaven. Listen to these words again. For you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd, the overseer of your soul. We need to return to the Lord with our soul daily. That's what confession and absolution is all about. We need to remember Jesus. That's why Jesus in the Lord's Prayer says, do this in remembrance of me. And with our bodies, he says, take and eat, take and drink. This is for you. Jesus always heals us, body, mind, and soul. Listen to the words of verse 11 in chapter 2. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh which wage war against your soul. Ever been angry at God? You know what repentance means? To return. Repent and be baptized. Return. I don't do this often. And for some of you, you may have never heard of the Book of Concord. For some of you, you may never have heard of the Large Catechism. But I'm going to read to you the words of Martin Luther, written around 1520 AD. It's what he says about confession in the Large Catechism. This is what he writes. Note then, as I have often said, that confession consists of two parts. The first is our work and act when I lament my sin and desire comfort, and listen to this, and restoration for my soul. The second is the work of God when he absolves of me of my sin. We should therefore take care to keep the two parts clearly separate. We should set little value on our work and exalt and magnify God's word and work. I was lost and then found. I was blind, but now I see. Amazing grace for you and for me. It's how we are healed from our injuries. Would you bow your heads with me for a word of prayer? Father in heaven, with body, mind, and soul, we love you. And if there's anything standing in the way, if there's anything making us look back, turn us around, Lord, through your Spirit who lives in our body. We thank you for the words of Peter who remind us Jesus died on that cross for our bodies. And through those wounds, we are healed. And we know, what wounds are they? The wounds that people commit against us and the wounds we've committed against others. We know and we pray, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. The ultimate healing is of soul, mind, and body in heaven forever. As we look forward to that, we thank you that you are the one that still heals our body, mind, and soul here on earth. We know that is so important because then we can stay in the game and serve you and be an example, not only to ourselves and those around us, but our offspring, our children and our grandchildren, this community, the people who come to ACA, and any visitors who walk through that door, may they see shining examples of those who are committed to follow you, grounded in the Word of God, united in love and flowing with service. We thank you for that vision and that mission. In Jesus' name, I do pray. Amen.